This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Today we're going to begin a new series of special features that will be part of this program for the next few weeks. I'm going to let Ron Barris of ABWE introduce the series.
Hi, this is Ron Barris, just checking in. How does God conform us to His own image? We normally think of His work in our lives as being done through His Word, prayer, and trials. And Romans 5, 1-5 validates the reality of that. But I want to suggest another often undervalued means of sanctification, human relationships. Relationships result in influence. Influence results in change. And change can be destructive or constructive. But every relationship we have results in change. Consider the changes the following relationships resulted in. David and Jonathan. David and Nathan, David and Absalom, David and Michael, David and Bathsheba, David and Joab, David and Saul, David and Samuel. Other sanctifying relationships include Jesus and the 12, Jesus and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Barnabas and John Mark, Barnabas and Paul, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Onesimus. Speaking of Paul, have you ever read Romans 16? Paul was constantly involved in building relationships with people everywhere and all the time. And it was not a one-way street. Paul himself was greatly affected by his relationships with these many fellow believers. These relationships brought him great joy and also great heartache at times. That's life. That's ministry. That's relationships. But be sure to make the time to further relationships within your team, as well as with those you're seeking to reach for Christ. God has placed you where you are to be sanctified and to have a sanctifying effect on others through relationships. Christ-centered, loving, honest, constructive, encouraging relationships take time, and a lot of it. Jesus had less than 20 who were constantly interacting with Him. And He had 3 who were especially close. Our effectiveness in ministry depends on our ability to build long-term, healthy relationships with others. Let me say that again. Our effectiveness in ministry depends on our ability to build long-term, healthy relationships with others. People who get in close to us see us for who we really are. And if we are the real deal, then we will exert tremendous spiritual influence on others. But we must be sure to build those relationships wisely and regularly. We and they will be forever changed as a result.
All right. There we have an introduction to our new series of special features about lasting relationships. So let me ask you, how important are relationships to you? Think about that as we listen again to Ron Barris.
What brings you life's greatest joys as well as sorrows? Relationships. What was the cause of the first not good statement in the Bible? The absence of a human relationship. What is the root of our unease and dissatisfaction with life? The absence of a relationship with our Creator. What is the essence of hell? The eternal absence of a relationship. What is the essence of eternal life as defined by Jesus Himself? An enduring relationship. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. When relationships are healthy, the worst of times are endurable. When relationships are unhealthy, the best of circumstances are devoid of real pleasure. You see, we were designed for relationships. Our initial plunge into self-destruction in the garden was the betrayal of a relationship with God Himself. This relationship can only be restored by God's active intervention in our lives through His Son, His Spirit, and His Word. Broken relationships, whether vertical or horizontal, are never healed by accident. Building healthy relationships requires intentional effort based on godly character, sustained over time. In over 30 years as a follower of Jesus, as a husband, father, pastor, and counselor, I've seen relationships on every part of the continuum, thriving, surviving, struggling, and self-destructing. I have worked with hundreds of people who have desperately desired to build lasting relationships. Many of them had the notion, it seemed, that I might possess some secret magic answer with which I could quickly fix their relational problems. It's been my growing conviction over the decades that they and many others like them are in error on at least three counts. First, the solution to relationship problems is no secret. God has clearly revealed in His Word that there are necessary components in relationships that last, and human experience just serves to confirm it. Second, the solution to our relational problems is not magic. It takes understanding, effort, and time to implement God's principles that can make our relationships survive and thrive. And third, others cannot solve my relationship problems. I can solve them, however, with God's input and my output. While a good biblical counselor can provide an accurate perspective and a healthy prescription, what the counselee does with that information and advice is up to them and the others they struggle to relate to. What I would like to share with you is no substitute for personal biblical counseling. Wise people will always seek objective godly counsel for life's conflicts and decisions. And remember this, seeking counsel is not an admission of failure. It is rather a demonstration of wisdom. Now, the things I'd like to share with you over our next few sessions are drawn from the Word of God, actually from the Ten Commandments. I call them the five essentials of building lasting relationships. Let's talk about it. These are the five essentials for building lasting relationships, drawn from the Ten Commandments. They are as follows. Number one, respect. Number two, honesty. Number three, commitment. Number four, acceptance. And number five, forgiveness. Let me say them again. The five essentials for building lasting relationships are respect, honesty, commitment, acceptance, and forgiveness. Let's begin with the first one. Traditionally, we think of the first four of the Ten Commandments as written on the first tablet of stone. They define man's relationship with God, the vertical. The last six of the Ten Commandments comprise the second table of stone and refer to man's relationship with man, the horizontal. It is significant that the first commandment on both tablets, commandments number 1 and 5, refer to the necessity of respect in our relationships, first with God and with our parents. Respect is foundational. You shall have no other gods before me. In order to have a lasting relationship with the one true and living God, we must listen to what the one true and living God has said, first about Himself. He has revealed Himself to us as a holy, omnipotent Spirit, creator of all things. To make other gods is to show ultimate disrespect to God Himself. This refusal to listen to the one true God is the very essence of sin. When we choose to listen to the deceptive words of the serpent, other men, or our own imaginations, we have ceased listening to God. And to the extent we have refused to listen to God, to that extent we have sinned. Honor your father and your mother. Similarly, we demonstrate disrespect to parents by refusing to listen to them. The essence of honoring or showing respect for one's parents is to listen to their words and to obey them. The foundation of healthy parent-child relationships is the respect the child demonstrates towards the parent by listening and quickly responding in loving obedience. Good parents give direction to their children, always with their children's best interests at heart. The single, most often repeated command in the Bible is the command to listen. It was the core issue in the Garden of Eden. A quick reading of the first three chapters of Genesis reveals a choice that was made to stop listening to God's voice. Israel's relationship to God was rooted in a command to listen. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Therefore, listen, O Israel, and be careful to obey, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This command to listen is at the core of Solomon's wisdom principles. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will listen. Proverbs 1:8, my son, listen to the instruction of your father. Proverbs 19:27, stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray. The English word listen, translated from the Old Testament word shema, means to listen, to hear, to heed, and to obey. To the Hebrew mind, listening and obeying were one. If one didn't obey, it was evident they did not listen. For listening includes the concept of appropriate and immediate response. Listening truly is a life and death matter. Jesus frequently ended his parables with the imperative warning, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Or in modern English, "If you got ears, you'd better listen. Your life depends on it." The central issue in relational conflicts often includes a lack of respect, revealed by a lack of willingness to actively listen to one another. How good a listener are you?
Good question. We'll be hearing more from Ron Barris next week as he continues looking at the importance of lasting relationships. By the way, Ron is a member care person for ABWE.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.